Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast. Today with Sarah Caminiti. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And I'm really thrilled because we are going to discuss about leadership and in particular, the customer experience leadership blueprint. Built it right from day one. But as usual, before we kick off this discussion, we would like to learn more about you. And therefore, Sarah, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I would love to. I am Sarah Caminiti. I've been in and around CX for about 20 years. I am currently the head of customer service in the U.S. for Abcam, a biotech company. And I am also the host of Epical Growth, a podcast where I get to celebrate great leaders in the CX space doing great things. And I am just loving all the conversations that are happening in the CX world around how to be better leaders and build stronger teams and the impact that that has on the customer journey. So I'm super pumped for this conversation.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And as usual to the audience, perhaps you can have a break now and go to Sarah's podcast, have a look at her podcast. You will find all the information in the show notes and let us know what you think about that. And perhaps what I can improve on mine.
Oh, no.
Joke aside, Sarah, we would like also to learn more about your values. Which values drive your professional career?
Yes, this is something that I've really spent a lot of time thinking about over these last many months. And I think that empowerment is one that I hold very, very close to my heart and something that I take very seriously. I also am a huge fan of optimization. And I think that to provide your team the tools that they need to be successful and optimize their time so that they're able to do the things that they're great at is one of the biggest responsibilities of a leader. Trust and transparency is something also that I take very seriously. If I have invited you onto this journey with me, then I need to show you that I trust you and I need to let you do what you need to do and also include you in the conversations. We have quite a huge responsibility as a leader to prove our value every single day to those that we lead so then they can prove their value to the customers. And if they become leaders, then they can do the same and we can continue this ripple effect so that we are leading people the way that we always wanted to be leaded. That's not a word. Led. and good things will only come from that.
Thank you very much. And what you are saying, your personal values that you are using in your or leveraging in your professional career are very much linked also to what we are going to discuss. It's about leadership. And I think these are key leadership values that everybody needs to embrace in their way of working. Let's kick off this game. In the pre-discussion, you share with me this word, foundational leadership. What does foundational leadership in CX mean to you and why is crucial for long-term success?
Yes, I'm so excited to be talking about this because discussing the foundation of a team is often one of those steps that people don't really spend a lot of time thinking about. You jump right into the meat of it. But when you think about building a house, you have to remember that in order to build a house, you need to first prepare for a foundation. And then you need to build a solid foundation. And usually, that's one of the most expensive, time-consuming parts of the house building process. The same thing should apply to your teams. If you're not building a foundation where they understand the vision, they feel empowered. There is documentation that kind of fills in those blanks. Everyone understands their role and how they serve this company. Then you haven't built a solid foundation. And you're going to start building those walls with a lot of holes in them. And if you continue to lean into these foundations where they know where you're coming from, you know where they're coming from, you're able to have more constructive, collaborative conversations because there aren't any assumptions being made about intentions. The intentions were clear from that foundational piece. The journey is clear from that foundational piece. Then you can explore and you can be curious and you can grow in ways that not having those foundations prevents you from doing effectively.
And you are describing that with such a passion and we are feeling that also while we are discussing about this topic. And therefore, I need to ask this question. Do you have an example? How did you leverage this way of working, way of leading people that worked well?
I think that my journey in leadership is better described by acknowledging that throughout my career, I felt very frustrated because I was being led by people that they were approaching it differently than I would have. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of control. There was a lot of gatekeeping. The power dynamics were weird. And I got to a point where I recognized the correlation between the employee experience and the customer experience. And I am a stubborn person, and I needed to test this theory to see if I could actually lead the way that I wanted to lead. And I am a huge fan of the golden rule. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. And it's a very simple thing to say, but it is a very difficult thing to continue to practice, especially in leadership. And I also am a lover of root cause analysis. I like to understand what is actually driving the behaviors of the people that I surround myself with. And so once I started my leadership journey, I started asking a lot of questions, but I made my intentions very clear. I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned from those mistakes. And I was very clear with the folks that were on my team. This is a mistake. Let's take a pause. Let's see what we can learn from it so that we can prevent it from happening. And as we continue on together. And so I started asking questions. And those questions were, why did you go about this the way that you did? And that question is not, I want to get you at a gotcha moment. It is, my job as a leader is to help you be successful. And it's such an easy step up from CX when you're on the ground level, because when you are working with customers, your role is to make them successful. So it's a natural space for many of us to move into this leadership role where our customer then becomes the folks that are on our team, but it also becomes the company and then the business goals at large. And so asking these questions allowed us the opportunity to go step by step to see where those gaps were and to see when things kind of started to shift. And usually it was they made an assumption about something because documentation wasn't clear, or they felt nervous asking another team member a question, or they misread something because maybe a developer wrote the documentation and it was a harder thing to follow than they realized. And you start to see patterns of, okay, well, I think that we need to have eyes on this. I think that actually CX needs to be involved in all these product discussions. I think that CX actually does need to be involved in all of these other spaces and have a voice. And by allowing us to have space in these areas, we're able to empower our team to see the value of the work that they're doing. This isn't just reactionary. This isn't transactional. They're not easy to be replaced. These are very skilled professionals. And if I am able as a leader to create a space where they feel safe enough to explore, then the customer and the business and like the business financials are going to feel that in ways that often you don't recognize as such a direct connection to what's happening in CX.
Thank you. I think, first of all, I would like to ask one question. I'm not sure that's the right way to ask that, but I am not 100% sure that you are following the golden rule, because how empathetic you are and how you're treating people, I don't know the exact name. People are saying that it's the diamond rule or the upgrade of the golden rule. is treat people like they want to be treated and not the way I want to be treated, because you are so empathetic, and therefore I'm quite sure that you are following the upgrade of the golden rule. Also, while I was listening to you, sorry for pointing that out, but then you get the feedback. So they speak about the golden rule, that's old fashioned and so on. Therefore, for the audience, yes, we are learning, and therefore we are quite sure that Sarah mentioned the golden rule, but it's an empathetic way of living the golden rule. Sorry for this point.
Hey, I got an upgrade. I will take that as a win. Thank you for pointing that out. And now I'm going to go and investigate the ways that the golden rule has evolved since I saw it above the door in kindergarten, which is really to the extent of my research of that methodology. So I'm excited. Thanks.
That's great. Sorry for this, but avoiding a discussion then later. Now, I think you mentioned several topics, and one topic that I really like is, and that's the most important thing, we are saying we have one mouth and two ears, and we should spend time listening to people. And you said asking the right questions. Perhaps do you have some practical tips? How can we, should we ask questions to our people, to customer, and so on?
Yeah, I love that you're asking this, because figuring out how to ask effective questions is something that needs to be learned, and it needs to be continuously improved upon. When I was building an onboarding process for an all-hand support system, I was working with people internationally that were not dedicated support professionals. This wasn't their career. They were developers most of the time. And instead of spending time in the onboarding, teaching them how to find information and share information, I instead spent 6 weeks focusing on asking effective questions and sentence structure. And that is something that translates wonderfully into leadership, but is so, so relevant within support, because the way that we approach how we communicate with our customers sets the tone for how we as a company approach our customers. And it also allows us to extract information from our customers without asking them to fill out a survey and without calling them and asking them for all of this feedback. We are able to structure things in a way so that they feel empowered to continue to solve their own problem. They've been given the tools. You've given them maybe a little bit of a nugget of what to anticipate once they continue to move forward, but you do it in a way that is not overwhelming. And I think the exact same thing needs to apply in leadership. And the only way you're going to be able to start that process is by understanding how to ask questions. And so your questions need to guide the person to share information in a way that feels natural. And you need to be a little bit more specific in what it is that you're asking. If they're coming to you with a problem or with a frustration or a concern, you need to flip that over. Instead of just giving them the answer, you need to flip that and ask them, all right, well, how would you have liked to have seen this happen? Or what was one thing that really started to make you feel uncomfortable about this? And if you can start to chip away to get them to start to feel safe, that you're not going to attack them, that you're not going to belittle them or corner them or punish them for being honest with you, then you're not going to need to spend as much time asking these questions. You have created that foundation from moving just past that team as how we are going to function to how are we going to connect as a leader and an individual. So that they feel that pride in knowing that when they ask a question, they're showing me that they care so much about doing it the right way that they're taking that moment to come and verify. I tell my team over and over again that exact thing. If you ask me a question, it tells me that you care about doing it right, making sure that it's documented correctly, making sure the customer understands things the right way. I will edit and read through an answer to a customer a million times over. But if you don't ask a question, if you cut a corner and make an assumption, you are then sending a message to the customer that you do not value them enough to do this correctly? And then I'm going to ask a question to you. Why do you feel like you are not able to pause and do this correctly?
Thank you, Sarah. On one side, now I feel a bit uncomfortable because I made this assumption that you wanted to change the golden rule into the upgrade without asking you questions. But I'm learning also my lessons. Therefore, the next time I will do it in a bit different way, but you are still laughing and we are continuing recording this podcast. Therefore, I'm sure that you are not so unhappy with how this discussion is going.
I'm loving this. There is nothing wrong with anything that's been happening here. We're great.
Joke aside, I think you are coming always back, from my point of view, to this topic, value. Creating value for the customer, creating value for the employees. You say that if you ask question, it means you are caring about the customer, and therefore it's extremely important. And now, very simple questions. What does value creation mean to you?
Value creation, I think, is value creation is the result of the adage, actions speak louder than words. I think that value creation is understanding what is actually going on behind the scenes, understanding that why. So let's take an example where you were not included. If you were a CX leader, you weren't included in a business decision. And you go to your boss and you ask, hey, what's going on here? Why wasn't I included in this? Oh, I didn't think that was necessary for you to be included in this. Okay, why? Why did you think that it was not necessary for me to be included in this? Oh, because we were talking about something and I don't think that the customer stuff really matters here. Why do you think that the customer should not have a voice in this conversation? And then you continue to ask why. And then once you get to that heart of it, that's when you see what their true values are. Do they value the customer enough to give them a voice in these conversations? Do they value you as a person in a leadership role enough to include you or even offer the opportunity for you to have a space in these conversations? And as a leader myself, I don't want a single person that is in my sphere to have to ask that many why questions to understand how I feel about their value in our success. And that goes back to the customer. I want to give the customer the tools that they need to be successful. I want to do root cause analysis on anything and every interaction that I can to understand what is that one moment where you were not able to be successful independently, because often that is not the reason why you asked a question. That is not the actual question that you even asked. But if I don't take the time to dig deeper, to look into how you are using the product, I'm showing you I don't value your success enough to spend time to understand your situation fully. And so the word value, I think, carries that weight of putting your money where your mouth is. It's money is time when you're working for a company. And money is also tied to ideas, because that is where that money is being spent a lot of the time. So values are connected to giving a voice, giving space, giving care, giving curiosity to all of these different pieces of the puzzle. It all comes down to, how do you want to spend your energy? How do you want to spend your time? How do you want to spend your resources? And if you as an individual don't fit into any of those buckets, you see very clearly and very quickly that regardless of whatever it is they're saying to your face, what they're doing is actually something very different.
Thank you for this great explanation. And showing that I am also learning a bit throughout this discussion, then I need to ask a why question now. Why is the foundational leadership so important to achieve business results on the long term?
Foundational leadership is so important to achieve business results because you are cutting corners if you're not doing it. And that's what tech debt is. That is what underfunded teams are. That is teams that don't have the resources that they need. That's what they are. Band-aids. Those are spaces that are not being led with foundational leadership. Because if you put a bunch of band-aids up on a wall with holes, that water is going to continue to come through those holes when it rains. It may not be obvious in the very beginning. The sun may not be shining through a lot of those holes. You can put some black paper on it. But if you can't build a structure that can withstand a storm, then you're again showing what you value, that you don't value the strength of this company to spend the time and the resources to allow everyone to be successful. And that connects to revenue a million times over, because if you don't feel safe to ask questions, you're not going to be able to do your job effectively. Ooh, I'm giving a thumbs up. If you don't feel like you have what you need to be successful, you're going to be spending a lot of your time doing things that you actually don't need to do. And therefore, if you're a salesperson, you're not going to be able to go and make sales because you're building all of these toolkits because you can't get the funds to do it. Or if you're a marketing team who doesn't have somebody that specializes in SEO, you're missing all of these opportunities to connect with potential customers because you don't have what you need to do that. And if you're in CX, if you don't have the ability to analyze the actual customer data and then utilize that elsewhere, then you're just basically existing. Because what else are you doing if you can't use the information that you're gathering to drive positive change to make the customer experience better?
Driving positive change to make customer experience better are your last word. And building on that, let's think about that. You have in front of you one new customer experience manager leading for the first time a team. What's your suggestion? What your insights, your hints to him how to lead the team?
I think that the biggest nugget that I would give somebody if they were joining my space, it would be to be confident and to remember that they were chosen to lead because we believe in them. And too many leaders, I think especially in the CX space, enter into new roles in leadership where you kiss the ring. You are so grateful for the opportunity. You do not believe that someone actually gave you this chance. And if you are entering into a leadership role with that kind of mentality, you are allowing a power dynamic where you are not an equal anymore. You are a step below. And to get yourself back up there, that's going to take time or a new company in order to achieve it. That's not an easy one to circle back in. And if you are constantly thinking that you need to bend over backwards to make sure no one regrets hiring you, you are preventing your team from being successful. You're preventing those amazing ideas that people hired you to do from seeing the light of day, because you're trying to put out fires in everyone else's department instead of actually taking the time to grow and build and expand and explore within yours. So if you are a new leader in CX, be so proud of yourself. You earned this. And now is your time to create the positive change that in your gut you know exists. And if you need a pep talk, find me on LinkedIn, because I will give you a million pep talks so that you can see how special you are.
And I am inviting you also more often on the podcast, that you are motivating us.
Please, Sarah, I am always around.
We are coming to an end of this game. And in the last 3 minutes, I still have three questions for you. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Well, first and foremost, it better not be 10 years before you invite me back on this podcast. But I think that we're just going to be talking a lot about retention. I think that we are going to be talking about retention as the profit center. CX is at the center of everything. And the tools that exist to power like performance-driven, like change-making and wonderful CX teams is going to connect the customer to every single piece of the customer journey, because that makes sense. It's going to be the number one driver of growth within a company.
That's a great vision. Let's make it our mission to achieve that. And what's the best way to contact you?
Find me on LinkedIn. I'm trying to be a public-facing person, sharing little nuggets here and there, hopefully not pissing too many people off in the process. But I am always eager to meet new people. I am always eager to cheer new people on. So please find me on LinkedIn, Sarah Caminiti. But then my podcast, Epical Growth, I will, just little heads up, it is probably going to be going through a rebranding, because I tried to get it to play on Siri by saying Epical Growth, and it could not find it. So that tells me I may need to have a new podcast name. So be on the lookout for that when the new season comes around in Q2. But yeah, I'm excited to continue the conversation with the listeners here.
Sure, I'm quite sure they will do that. And now we're coming to the last questions. Is Sarah's golden nugget, it's something we discussed, or something new to leave to the audience with?
I keep making that noise. I'm sorry to the listeners. Maybe we can cut that out. But my golden nugget is that customer retention isn't about keeping customers. It's about building relationships that evolve and they grow alongside them. And by focusing on retention as a long-term strategy, you turn loyalty into your strongest growth engine and driving sustainable success for both your customers and your business, because that is the differentiator. We've got a lot of noise around us. And if we are continuing to just celebrate the people that are doing great things, and that includes our customers as they're using our products, then will be noticed and people will want to join in.
Sarah, thank you very much for your time. It was great to have you on the CX Bookkeeper podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. Have a great day.
Please, Sarah, stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. Please let us your feedback. If you have any questions, contact Sarah, contact me, and have a look or listen to Sarah's podcast. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth, subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!